Okay.
Good.
We are recording.
Okay. Call the meeting to order. Roll call. Stuart Brown.
Here.
Bob Orland.
Here.
Mike Mueller here. We have two applications. The public notice is the meeting. The Parish Zoning Board of Appeals will hold two meetings on September 9th, 2020 at 6 p.m. to be held at 2938 Main Street, Parish, New York, in the Village Gym. Actually, we're not a gym. The purpose of the meeting, the applicant one is consideration of an area variance for a line setback to build a garage for property owner James Tallarico, property located at 1649 County Route 11, Parish, New York, 13131. Applicant number two is interpretation of the current village zoning law as it prohibits the siting of a manufactured home within the village for property owner Maureen Stetson. Excuse me. Property located at 2992 West Main Street, Parish, New York, 13131. Public is invited to attend. So the first application is for Tallarico. Okay, guys, want to come up?
Sure. Be sit here?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we have your application. The only amendment that I saw to it is I updated the text for Article 4, Schedule B, which is the setback for property. I didn't see anything else within the application that. Anybody else see anything? We can determine that the application is complete. Public hearing, we will open the public hearing if anyone wishes to speak for or against the Tallarico area variance. We'll leave it open for 2 minutes unless anyone wants to speak.
We want it. I'll say that.
Is there anybody on the?
Not at this point.
Okay. We'll leave it open for 2 minutes and then we'll continue.
Do you guys need any of this paperwork that we got?
We may.
Okay.
It's T-A-L-A-R, correct?
Correct.
Okay, because on the
tax I have it spelled wrong.
E-R, yes.
Yes.
T-A-L-A-R-I-C-O. Okay. If anybody has something they want to have a comment, so we'll continue. So we have your application for the area variance. We have a copy of the plans of the building that you're looking to construct. And I have a copy, I think I distributed to both of you, a copy of the tax map and the
a copy of the site
survey. Site survey, yes. Also, excuse me, I'm wrong. I also, I don't know if you guys had a chance to look. I was trying to figure out how everything sat. I downloaded a couple pictures off Google Maps so we can kind of see from the top what we're looking at. So this is the Tallarico house. The property line in this picture appears like it's running right down the side of the tree line, but in the GIS mapping, it looks like it's kind of running down the middle of the trees, is it?
Well, we have trees in between our house and their house.
Okay.
And
there's trees like at the property line where we have the property line. There's trees on their side.
Okay.
But there's also a few trees on our side.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So looking at this map.
I guess I'm doing
something. Probably this map here. Can you draw where you're planning to put the garage?
Right here. Because right here is where
the garage would be.
That's the house. That's the concrete pad. That's the garage. Now, between here and I don't know how far over it goes, is we have a whole group of trees in between our property and their property. So basically, even if you build this, the only time they're going to see that is in the winter when all the leaves are gone.
So looking at this, it looks like just this rear corner.
Uh-huh.
Correct. Would be, it's the closest point to the property line.
Okay.
9 feet.
It'd be 9 feet.
What's the code on that?
20 feet.
20.
So.
Put our house on a carpet.
So with the garage is?
It's 26 feet wide. 46 feet long.
46 feet long. Where, with putting it in that orientation, where does it put the front of the garage in comparison to the right of way for the road frontage? Is there more than 25 feet?
Yes.
There is.
Okay. Yes.
So that's the road frontage.
Isn't
that
it like 60?
From the back of the concrete pad to the road is 100 feet.
Okay.
So there's, in that sense, there's plenty of room.
And when we went to apply for the permit.
So you're looking west?
He was saying that from the center of the road to where we want it is like 70 feet.
From the center of the road to the front of the garage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he said it was like 70 feet. We thought it was like 60.
I believe this is north.
Yeah.
So really, by the time you get to the front of the garage, you're going to be close to the 20 feet, depending on the angle.
Right.
Coming out the end like that. That's quite an angle, so it's just going to be this corner right there. I think this side is probably over closer like that. But still, it's just a one corner garage.
Right. Concrete pad, but deck, or is it what the house sits on?
Originally, we had a single wide home there, and it extended 70 feet. It's covered up the pad. We since installed a double wide, which is only 52 feet, so we use the pad as like a patio.
And we added
some
the
concrete
other half onto it to make it a full pad for, you know.
So with the construction they're looking to do, because they're putting in a full foundation of the construction, they really can't. It would be difficult for them to do anything with the pad.
Oh yeah, that would be. See that area.
In the ground behind the house, it slopes down quite a bit, so we can't build back there either.
Okay. We thought about the other side, and we have a huge ravine
on
the other
side.
So it's like.
Okay, that's one thing I didn't look at with the topography.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it sloped down right behind the house. It starts to slope
mm-hmm.
down.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions for me?
I can think of off the top of my head right this minute. It's going to be far enough back from the road. Closest corners here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this may be deceiving. It just looks like it's very close to the road, but it's to the center right of the road, or to the right of way, so.
Right. Yeah, I'm not.
So. Did you look at that road?
I didn't. I didn't look at the front. I didn't know how close it was. I knew the side was over, so I didn't really have to look at the front that much. But if I can remember correctly, I think they were good.
Okay.
Because it's basically the right of way is 50 feet, so 25 feet from the center line.
From the center line, right.
And then our zoning states 25 more feet from the right of way, so basically 50 feet from the center of the roadway.
Okay. You'll be looking at that anyway when you get in the permit. So.
Great. Because if it's really close, we'll take a good look at it. But if it's not, you know, like I said, once the side was off, it really didn't matter if they're, you know, how
right.
close it is.
Right.
I do think they have enough room, so.
Okay. So they can make them come back twice.
Yeah, no, it's.
We have a site plan with
it's
us.
Not
a... I know. It's bigger if it helps to see the layout bigger.
When
we have the
cones
of the
line. Well, this is 91 and a half feet to the center line of the road. So,
so that's
from the front corner of the house.
Right.
So, I mean, it should be more than enough if you're taking, if this is 27 feet and you said it's 46 foot garage, it's going to take you out to here. This still should be more than enough.
Well, you're still out to over 60 feet.
Right. Right.
So.
And here's. I don't know, it's just a bigger layout of the site.
As you want to see this.
Yeah, that's the same.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah. Well, I just figured it might be easier to see, but it's up to you guys.
Any other questions?
No, I really have no questions. I mean, the only thing we're looking at really proving is the one corner.
Just
sounds
the one,
like.
I would say, I mean, with the angle that's there, I mean, I'm not doing the math,
yeah.
but it's going to pull away from the.
Yeah,
from
so
the
just take that corner
right
off. We're good.
No.
Yeah,
don't write that.
Any other
questions? I mean, that was already answered. But the other, they said, what do they consider the other side slopes?
Right. I'm ready to entertain a motion, you know, to, with whatever your pleasure as far as granting or not granting, but my only suggestion is that we include that it follows, you know, parallel to the house so that.
Yeah, the garage will follow parallel to the pad. It's going to butt up right against
that's
it.
Donnie had said, yeah.
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 Yeah, I would make the motion. For that. You need me to word it or?
Sure.
Go ahead and make the motion to be accepted as planned. Part of course, he complies with the plans and what we're told here.
Second. All in favor?
Good.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Can I say aye? Sorry.
I will actually. I was supposed to close the public hearing, and then we make a decision. But I'll close the public hearing now, and I will write up the decision and get that over to you.
Okay.
We do need to collect the $25 fee for that.
He's got that.
Okay.
In your decision, you specify the idea of no variance from what we've been told here, correct?
Yes.
So you guys don't need any of this, the plans or any of this?
Nope.
Or?
No.
You'll
use that with
okay.
With him and
the
well, you brought it just in case because.
In 1 minute, I'll give you a receipt for this.
We've never done this before, so this is a new experience for us.
I got time, you know. Good mother stuff.
Yeah.
We're hoping to get it done before it's
snowing. It's snowy in Colorado. Or...
I just don't want to have to shut my car in
and my own
garage and open and it's all brushed off. And a room I can send him to when it's like, go to the garage. Go, leave. Go to your room.
So my final question is, how long does this take for him so we can get a permit to get started?
That's really up to him.
Up to you?
Yep. I will be in my office as soon as you get the letter from him. I'm already here, so I know it's coming.
Right.
Okay. I will be in the office with you today, Wednesday. I will be in the office Friday.
Well, you've got our number, so.
So I'll call, you call me, that way I'll remember it.
Okay.
It's better if you call me.
Okay.
How long did it take for the letter to come?
I will.
I don't mean to be pushy, I'm just
wondering. No, I understand. Excited. I understand.
We've been waiting a long time for this.
I will probably type it up tonight or tomorrow morning and email it to him until I have it.
All right.
So by the time you come see him on Friday, he'll have the
letter.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Have a good night. You too. Thank you. Call me, we'll make a time. Okay, all right, absolutely. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, the second applicant is Maureen Stetson and she is requesting an interpretation of the village zoning ordinance.
How do you spell it, last name?
Stetson.
Yeah.
Again, I did not see anything wrong with her application. Either you do, we can deem it complete. Okay. Or excuse me,
sorry. Nope.
Okay, we can
seem like it was complete. So.
Deem that to be complete. We can open the public hearing. Anybody would like to speak?
Kevin Dwyer, 2986 West Main Street. And I understand people have the right to put their properties where they want to put them, but this one is two lots down from me. And yeah, I admit it, my house looks like crap on the outside. Yeah. I'm getting back on my feet financially after personal crap. But the contour, not the contour, the, I'll say the building constructions in the existing Main Street, which is Main Street on that end of town, on the end of the village, I should say, is multiple story houses. And it's my understanding this is a one story. And I don't think that a one story fits the criteria of section 616 of Article 21B, which allows them to go in, yes, but it says conforms with the identical development specification standards, including general aesthetic. So I'm thinking that's my disagreement point right there. It does not agree with the already existing aesthetics of multiple story structures.
You're talking. Okay, so we can break it down a little bit more. So you're talking a two or three story.
Right. You,
next
if you're driving down Main Street, all of a sudden you're looking at two story houses, you know, two story, well, there's one catty corner from my house. It is a three story house. And then all of a sudden you're going, and all of a sudden your building profiling goes, phew, drops down to a one story, then climbs back up to a. Until you climb out of the village, you know, drive off the village way towards the town. So that's my objection.
There are a couple of ranches down on the same side, down a ways. And there's also a modular manufactured home right across, almost right across from here, which
yes.
is within the heart of the village.
Yes, that's the, it's on Ryder Street right next to the old fire station.
Yeah. there are other ranches in the village.
Well, and I could be wrong here, Mike, but looking at it, if you were to expand, if this was an older person in a wheelchair, would you require them to have two stories?
Well, that's what we're going to have to discuss after we...
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak? Look like it?
No,
anybody online?
Nope. Okay. We have no other guests adding.
Okay. In that case, I've already read the public notice. We can have you come up in the area. So I understand your request as far as the village zoning prohibiting mobile manufactured homes. I believe it specifically states mobile homes, which I'll get into in a minute. New York State law from 2015 currently allows for manufactured homes. And what it, there's a couple things in play here. Article 616 says manufactured homes as a single family dwelling in a residential district. A manufactured home that is affixed to a permanent foundation and conforms to the identical development specifications and standards, including general aesthetic and architectural standards applicable to conventional site-built single-family dwellings in the residential district in which the manufactured home is to be sited, shall be deemed to be conforming single-family dwelling for purposes of the applicable zoning law or ordinance. So this section of the state law basically trumps the village zoning law. One of the things that I, in my review that I came across, is the difference between manufactured home and mobile home. The village zoning specifically says mobile homes, which in state law, a mobile home is basically a home on wheels manufactured prior to 1976. Manufactured home is manufactured after 1976. The reason I bring that up is that whatever decision we make, we need to, I believe.
After what year?
1976.
76?
Yes. Well, but whatever decision we make, I think we need to take that into consideration. My view.
Here about the mobile homes.
Mm-hmm.
But then here, since...
The manufactured home.
Yeah. What's the definition of the states? That's the definition.
The definition of a manufactured home for estates that shall have the same meaning as provided in subdivision 7 of Article 601 of this article. Identical developmental specifications and standards, including access, building setback distance, enclosures, and parking space. Single family dwelling. So a mobile home definition is a movable or portable dwelling unit that was built prior to June 15th, 1976, and designed to be constructed to be towed on its own chassis composed of frame and wheels, connected to utilities, and designed and construction without a permanent foundation for year-round living. Hmm. Excluding travel trailers for the purpose of these provisions, a mobile home shall be considered a manufactured home. So mobile home is without a permanent foundation. Manufactured home.
So if you take the mobile home then and give it a permanent foundation, it becomes manufactured.
They're basically considered the same, with the exception of...
Depend on the year of manufacture.
Right.
I'm sorry, you're not going to find what 76 now.
No, but...
But you never know. Yeah.
So there's that to consider. Jim, with regard to the zoning, based on the comments we heard, is there any applicable zoning with regard to the structure of a dwelling in the village?
In the zoning laws, and you probably have them right before you, on the chart it says manufactured home, I believe.
I'm sorry, I was speaking specifically with regard to the new 2015 law, it says we should apply the current zoning to it as far as...
So the current zoning is what we have, what you guys probably have before you, right?
So I guess what I'm asking is, does the current zoning allow for a single family dwellings, single story ranch in the village?
Yes.
Okay.
So, there's nothing that stipulates you can't have a ranch in the village, to my knowledge. Right, Kevin? I don't have it in front of me. What's that?
We already do have.
Right, you do have. So,
okay.
I mean, that doesn't mean that they weren't there before the zoning law came in, but I don't believe that I can recall anything that limits going to one story in the village. You know, I mean, there's always height restrictions, but there's nothing that says you can't have a single story.
So then, okay. And the manufactured home that you're looking to put in, because I don't know that it matters to our decision. I'm just curious, is it a brand new home or is it a...
Well, I was looking at a brand new one, and unfortunately somebody put a deposit on. Obviously, I didn't, not knowing what was going to happen, I didn't want to lose out on the money. Mm-hmm. So I just found out Sunday that somebody put a deposit on. So I'm back to square one looking. More than likely it'll be brand new. If it's not, it's not going to be real old either. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be nice. I'm not going to put a dump on there. It'll probably look better than a piece of vacant land.
I mean, for the purposes of our decision, I don't know that it matters what's going on there. You need to look at the law and how it applies to the zoning. Again, my comment is, it appears to me as though the state law trumps the current zoning in the town, or in the village, excuse me.
Yes.
And my concern is that, for my opinion, I agree that a manufactured home should be allowed by zoning. My concern is that manufactured home that should be allowed by zoning should be manufactured after 1976, so that it's a manufactured home and not a mobile home.
Well, can we better the year on that though, ourselves? They put 76, but can we put 86? Or?
I don't have that answer.
Okay.
I
mean, yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I think the ones that are older like that, they won't even attempt to move.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I don't even think you'll find.
But still, I think you can get an 86. You know? Yeah. Now, are you getting yourself in trouble here?
Oh, is that something you can provide any information for us on?
I don't know right offhand.
I mean, if I can interject just a little bit, I don't think she has any interjection, and you want to make it 86. Maureen, do you have any issue with that at all?
No.
86 or higher, so if she doesn't have an objection to it, I mean, if she did, she could always go to court.
I mean, obviously, I understand that you want to be careful of anything happening in the future also.
Well, that was more or less an open question.
I think our concern as a board should be, this interpretation is going to set a precedent.
Yes.
And it needs to be able to be upheld.
And that's a big variance, 76 to now. I mean, if you look hard enough, I bet you can find a 76 you can pull in somewhere. You know, but probably not in very good shape.
Unless somebody is willing to expend funds to bring it up to current code, even though it was built in 76, which has wiring issues and whatnot at that time.
But I don't know, 76. I'm going to see you inside the road for $50. So I just picture people.
I agree with you. My concern is that the decision we make can be upheld in court.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, obviously.
Because the only recourse for a decision that we make is to take it to state Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So I just want to be sure.
We could make a good decision, but it might
still. And it might still end up in state Supreme Court. I just want to be sure that we consider.
I don't see the problem with the laws that exist. My only issue is that you'd like to kind of narrow that down a little bit, you know.
So the law says manufactured home affixed to a permanent foundation conforming to identical developmental specifications and standards. So that would be identical developmental specifications and standards would mean it has to adhere to the current building code, doesn't that? Would you agree with that?
Yes, and so the current building code for manufactured homes, you can pull one onto the lot, your pads have to be insulated now, and the piers, you know, all these sit on piers, and that's the current building code for a manufactured home.
I would assume the axles have to be pulled.
Right, so it's going to sit on those piers, and that's the only difference in...
But it doesn't,
in the building code, when you take a manufactured home and move one,
but this says applicable to the standards and applicable to conventional site-built single-family dwellings. So it would have to adhere to a stick-built home.
Technically.
Which I don't know that you're going to get a 1976 that adheres to current building code.
Probably not.
I think you're going to be probably within the last 5 years, would be my guess. Something similar to that.
Yeah, something similar to that.
So maybe our concern
is not
regarding older dwellings. I mean,
is null and void.
Well, it could be handled by
the
building code.
Right. Of course, now we're dealing with a difference here. This is the village code, correct?
Village code.
This would be in the village. So.
Right.
Okay.
But I think just that statement alone in the state law, that statement alone is going to cover our concerns on older mobile homes.
Everything else would have to apply. In other words, where the pad was laid next to the boundary lines. And
the setbacks.
Yeah. Setbacks,
all the heavy stuff. All that stuff would apply automatically.
Yes.
Whether house or manufactured or whatever.
Yes.
Okay. So then the issue is the manufactured home itself, complying with the codes, recent codes, would almost have to be a newer manufacturer.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think just by virtue of that portion of it, Jim applying that, the codes to that is going to make it.
Yeah, I would assume they wrote that up in 2016 when it went in place. That was their thinking too. That would make sense. Why they use 76, don't know, I guess, when they started
really. Well, it's just a definition. That was their dividing line between the definition of the two.
Yeah.
No, that'd be a B2 when they went from 2x2s and 2x4 walls to 2x6s.
Oh, that's
true. I mean, it could be anything.
That's true. Yeah.
Structural, I think.
They did use big 2x2 walls. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. They kicked
that out and a lot of the homes used to have flat roofs.
2x6 now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they used to have flat roofs, a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm good with that answer.
And that was my biggest concern with it, and I think I answered my own question.
Yeah, I think you answered mine.
Sometimes if you talk to yourself, you get the right answer.
Yeah, and sometimes I just get in arguments too. Any discussion
of your part? No, I think the questions you asked answered the questions I was going to ask.
I think so. You said you don't have any other questions?
Just to have me ask you a question. This law that they came up with, apparently in 2016, it must be that it was a persuasion. In other words, we can't take away from that law. That law says it should happen.
Right. I mean, at this point, our job is just to interpret whether this law applies.
Okay.
It's kind of a, I had a discussion with one of the gentlemen from Tug Hill, and it's kind of an odd situation for the ZBA to be interpreting a state law to see if it applies to town zoning, because the two don't really mix.
So my question is, how does this not apply?
I don't know. I think at this point, I think the decision for us is it does apply.
All we're doing is rubber stamping.
The interpretation that we can write up would just specify the definition of the manufactured home and how it applies in here, so that it's clear what's expected in the construction of a manufactured home. Yeah. But I don't know that we have a choice not to agree with this applying.
That's what I think. I don't think we have a choice.
Sorry.
that's not for us to.
Actually, it makes it easy.
True.
Yeah, you know, in one way. So.
Yeah, I don't know that we have a choice not to agree with it. It's just how we agree with it.
Yeah, I would think it was more of a court issue if we disagreed with it.
Yes. So I guess I can accept the motion to agree with it. And
I'll make that motion. Can we accept the?
How?
The New York.
Do you have any stipulations involved in that?
I would recommend that the motion include a stipulation that we will reference the definition of a manufactured home and how it applies to the
law. Well, I was going to say we would comply with the state law,
right?
616.
The way I can write it up in our interpretation is, you know, the definition of manufactured home and how it applies to the law, in that it would have to conform to current building code.
Correct.
I don't know that we can really change the definition.
Yeah, and
of
some
the
of the
law.
Manufactured homes really aren't under the building code, they're under the HUD code, which makes it, that's why they always have a HUD stamp or seal, I believe, now.
Okay.
And they follow those type of rules. And that's where it gets kind of gray. Because a home, once it follows HUD, when a manufactured home comes, brand new, or say it's an 82 and it wants to be placed onto a pad in the town currently, I just have to make sure that it's livable. I can't stipulate that it has 2x6 walls. I can't. It has to have that HUD stamp and tell me that it's good for this area.
For the town.
For the town. But that be my part as the building code is what I'm trying to tell you. Everything else is HUD involved. So I just want you to, you know, don't put it on the building code, because there really is no building codes with the structure itself.
Well, if I could say something, the manufactured homes have to follow certain laws when they're made.
HUD.
Like, you know, like the pitch of the roof and the walls, and it's not like it's getting, they're getting made by with 2x2s and tin siding anymore. And actually, HUD, from my understanding, is pretty strict.
Right, but that follows under them, not under building codes. Building codes, like I said, basically follow the way you place that home that's already built to the ground.
So we have to comply with the HUD codes. There's such a thing.
Yes.
Like we have to comply with the state codes.
Yes.
We have to comply with the HUD. Okay.
So any pre-manufactured home would follow HUD. To the best of my knowledge, I'm not an expert on this at all, but
okay. That's
my understanding of it. Like I said, when something comes in, I have to make sure that it's good for this area, that it's not just good for Georgia, so that it has somewhat insulation, because I can't look inside the walls once it's, you know, there.
So that could be in his memo, or even in the minutes, that it's complied to HUD, with HUD as well as the state 616 code?
That you could say, yes.
Okay.
And in that 616 code, it stipulates that it has to be compatible with the rest of the homes in the area, correct?
Basically, yes, including the general aesthetic and architectural standards applicable to conventional site building.
Yeah.
So, in that and that's where we had a discussion that, you know, you can't just place one in the village with the aluminum skirting or the, you know, vinyl skirting.
Right.
Because it doesn't compare with the other homes in the area.
Right.
But you may want to stipulate in this instance or anytime you do one of these, possibly, that she will use, you know, block instead of, you know, so it looks like a, you know, a basement, you know, use block so that we, because every time we have one of these, I'm going to have to come to you.
Well, until the...
Right, until the laws get changed.
Right. But the thing is,
you see, that's where
we as zoning, I mean, we weren't asked to provide a variance. We were asked to interpret the law.
It says affixed to a permanent foundation. So to me, that says it has to be affixed.
Concrete pad would be a permanent foundation.
Right. No, but it has to be affixed to it, which would be attached.
Which would be tie down.
Tie down.
Tie downs would be your attachment.
Oh, see, I'm going, like I said,
you said the pillars and the tie down.
Yeah, I'm thinking center.
I think that's something based on this law. I would think you could apply this law with the zoning to say what the...
Right, but what I can't do is I can't say, because there's nothing in the zoning that says no homes. Okay, no manufactured homes.
Yeah.
I have to go by somebody telling me that it will have the concrete block. It will. It cannot have the, you know, it's got to go with the rest of the neighborhood.
But I think that's what it says, 616. It says... Okay, dwellings, okay, a manufactured home that is affixed to a permanent foundation and conforms with the identical development specifications and standards, including general aesthetics.
According to Worthy Inspection Services.
Oh, I can do this.
And that general aesthetics,
homes don't fall into the site.
That's where that law comes. That's where you have to... come up with something, because I just can't say, yeah, it has to have, you know, block for, you know, skirting. I can't say that.
No, but I think that sentence says it.
Right.
In the area or the homes next to it, it needs to conform with that. That's basically what I said.
But you can put that in there to go against the current laws that we have, is what I'm trying to say, because I can only follow the current laws to enforce them, unless you tell me differently.
Okay. I understand.
You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I can't just say to Maureen, you got to have block, and she'll go, where's it say I have to have that? And then I can say right here from the ZBA.
Now don't jump to conclusions.
anybody.
No, I understand what you're trying to say.
You see what I'm saying?
I know that's what I'm going to do, but I know somebody else coming in the future might not.
Right. It could be tomorrow, you know, and that's all I can do is go by the laws that are currently on the books. And so if anybody would come to me tomorrow with a manufactured home, I would still have to send them to you. And that's where you can put your stipulations in, I believe, because that would make it, you know, look like all the rest of the homes in the area following the New York state law.
Right.
And that would protect you, everybody, that way.
So complying with HUD as well as New York state
law
616. And anything else we decide to put in there later day.
I mean, if every house on the street had a birdhouse, this one would have to have a birdhouse. But you would stipulate that. I mean, but that's what I'm trying to say.
I like the one with the mailbox too high, and she cuts it down with the chainsaw.
Oh, that Caring commercial? Yeah. Oh, yeah, but she's funny.
Did you get all that, Mike?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out
how to word it.
You get all that?
But I did bring down something.
We have attorney to look at this, do we? Or not?
No.
Good.
Unless we do it wrong, in which case, then yes.
Yeah, but as long as you put down how you got to your decision, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, decision.
That's what gave the quarters right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could attach the 616 and the hub to the maps. I don't know if we ever got through that motion. We didn't, did we?
Okay, so what if we write something, we reference the definition of manufactured home, Article 616, with the stipulation that the structure must be compliant with HUD and New York State 616, including the architectural standards applicable to the local aesthetics, specifically to include concrete or block between the foundation, the permanent foundation, and the manufactured home. That we were specifying, what we want between the foundation and the home.
And then pretty well everything else is covered under
the code. Everything else is covered in there.
Pretty well everything else would be covered under the code, the building code. So.
Right.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Good with that.
So move.
Well done. I'll move to what he just read. I'll make a motion to what he just wanted to read that.
You wouldn't be able to read that.
I'm making a motion to Mike read that.
as just read. Second it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Yep.
Okay, so I will write this up. And then I will send it to you too and make sure you agree with the wording as we discussed.
Should get through the minutes.
And then we can get the interpretation set out.
All right. And actually, I think it would be good that if it comes to the board every time they, each time a mobile home wants to come in. Well, that would be a bad idea.
It will, because the current laws, I can't go just by you guys ruling this time.
No.
And that's why I would have to come back to you if somebody else wanted to.
Right.
I'd have to follow the law, and I'd say you'd have to go to ZBA once again. And
which is a good idea.
But the village is working on new laws.
Yep, there's the mobile home overlay up there by the grist mill.
There's going to be a manufactured home area. And that's how that's...
Where's that up by grist mill?
Yeah, where what was going... It's my understanding as well. Yes, I am on the planning board, but I'm not here on the planning board. I'm a president.
So back up where Mrs. White lived there?
No, I believe the old Andy Lewis farm, because the village annexed way back. The village annexed in the 100 acres for the anticipated industrial park, i.e. the sister thing, the Scruple.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of fell through, but now they're the village the planning board and Tug Hill. We got together like we always do, and the planning board forwarded a mobile home overlay to the village for their approval, which would add an amendment to their zoning.
Yeah.
So that mobile home overlay would be on that 100 acres somewhere up there for like 10 acres or something for a mobile home area, manufacturing home area, same idea.
Mm-hmm.
Anything with wheels on it.
But that's in the future, so.
In the future, right.
So I don't know how far they are with approving, because I know they did talk with Matt Johnson about it, but I don't know how far they got.
I get between the village and the town, they're both doing it, so I don't know where either one is at the time.
I don't think we have any old business. I don't think we have any new business.
got no business. I didn't know about it.
I'll take a motion to adjourn the meeting unless there's anything else you need to discuss.
Motion.
Okay. All right. Okay, I will we'll take.
Like I said, once they reach a certain age, they won't even move them anymore.
No, well,
yeah. I just recall back a mother-in-law years ago, we mostly trailed that one with the tractor. But you're talking you back in the
70s. Yeah.
That was a single light, though, too.
Right? Yeah.
Was, yeah.
Back in those days, you need a license.
Gosh, they did a lot of
you, you know when to find which one to put on the property. Somebody called me the other day, maybe purchasing a property or something. So I might think she was going
to
sell it.
I'm going to email them to you.
Yeah.
But you
can't
just let it sit there.
Yep. So,
do you remember the CBA email addresses?
This will come in a couple days.